Breakthrough.
You are now listening to Breakthrough News.
I'm Rania Kallik, and you're listening to Dispatches.
The rising violence in Israel-Palestine has reached new levels of depravity. On top of the brutal bombing campaign in Gaza, inside Israel, there are roving gangs of Israeli Jewish mobs hunting for Arabs to attack while sometimes chanting for genocide, at times with the protection of the Israeli police. To help us understand the explosion of hate consuming Israel from within and the danger it poses to Palestinians of Israel, I'm joined by Soha Salman Musa, the executive director of the Musawa Center, which advocates for Arab citizens of Israel. Soha, welcome to Breakthrough News. I'm really glad.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. This issue has not been receiving the attention it deserves in the U.S. media. So can you start by describing your organization, what it does, and why it's necessary, and then we can go from there?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you again for having me. So I work with the Musawa Center. It's an advocacy center for Palestinian citizens of Israel. Musawa means in Arabic equality. We work to promote the political, cultural, economic rights for Palestinian citizens of Israel. We work with several, we use several tools. We work with the ministries in order to allocate funds for the Arab community inside Israel. We also work as a lobbying in the Parliament of Israel in order to work in to. Against any discriminatory legislation and litigation, as well as we do organizing work with our community, such as working with youth groups, working with civil society, as well as we do an advocacy work inside Israel, but also internationally. Mm-hmm. This is why we established Friends of Musawa in the U.S. in order to bring our voice, our community voice to the U.S., because we see that our voice of 20% of the population of Israel is not heard, especially in these bad and madness days. So we try to also work with the media as well as international media. And we have built a relationship with U.S. organizations, human rights organizations and civil rights organizations, as well as with European organizations and also European countries. We, as an advocacy center, we would like to have to work to promote equal rights for everyone and to stop any discrimination against, especially against our community, but also against other marginalized communities. Some of our works also including to document any police brutality against our community. Mm-hmm. This is in general what we do, and we support our community in different aspects. As I said, lobbying in the Knesset, advocacy, helping our community in allocating funds in order to build our community and our institutes, as well as community organizing, international advocacy, and media advocacy.
Well, Soha, I want to ask you, without, of course, downplaying the horror of the war in Gaza, I do want to focus more on the internal dynamics, because Israel brutalizing civilians of Gaza, it's not exactly new, but this level, there's two aspects of this. There's this level of mobilization among the Palestinian citizens of Israel, which seems to be somewhat new, and then this level of communal violence and right-wing Israeli mobs also seems to be new, or at least has reached a new level. I mean, we've seen reports of Jewish settler mobs attacking Arab homes. Houses in some neighborhoods have been attacked and then marked with red paint by these mobs to signal that Arabs live there. The Israeli police have been attacking and arresting Arabs while also allowing these Jewish settlers to attack with impunity. Similar, in many ways, to dynamics that we see in the West Bank. So you're in Haifa right now. what's it like where you are now, and what is life like for Palestinian citizens of Israel right now with all this going on?
Yes, I would like to start, like, this is a systematic approach from the Israeli government, especially from Netanyahu's government. The extreme right wing of Netanyahu's government is, this is what is happening since 2000. If you remember, in October 2000, we have the demonstrations and 13 young people were killed. When all these incidents started, we all were thinking about October 2000 demonstrations. But what we saw now, it's way, more than what happened in 2000. The good thing is, as for now, that we don't have this number of killing from our community. We do have someone that was killed in Lod, but this extremist violence, this attacking on our Arab neighborhoods in mixed cities like Haifa, like Lod, like Akka, as well as Yafa, Ramli, this is something that we saw it in October 2000, but wasn't that extreme, and it wasn't by protecting from the police. In Haifa, in the last few days, we had these demonstrations and protests were protesting in Haifa. And we had this mob and this extreme right wing coming into Haifa from outside Haifa. The police were attacking the Arab protests. The extreme the mobs of settlers that were, I don't want to say invading Haifa and the Arab neighborhood, but they were coming across all Arab neighborhoods, attacking the people inside their houses. And we have videos showing this brutality from this group, but no one was arrested. No one. People were attacking people that they were around, walking around the streets, people that were inside their cars. They were opening the car and beating the people. We saw this lynch that happened in Khadera with someone that they thought that he was an Arab and he was brutally attacked. But also they attacked someone in Ramle and he was seriously injured. The situation here is very dangerous, and people here are afraid. In the Arab neighborhoods, especially in Haifa and Akka and the Ramle, people were protecting their neighborhood. Because in Haifa, it's a mixed city, let's say. We have Arab neighborhoods and we have Jewish neighborhoods. So the people, they knew which neighbor is the Arab are living in. They were coming in the evening and starting shouting death to Arabs all over the streets of Haifa, especially in Haifa. Police wasn't trying even to answer the residents' calls that they have been attacked by these groups. More than that, the police were like just talking to them, laughing with these groups, but not doing nothing in order to protect the Arab community. And the people were, the young people were staying around having shifts in order to protect their neighborhood and to protect their cars, their homes, but also to protect as well as Arab businesses. Mm-hmm. We saw some videos that these mobs were attacking and damaging Arab businesses, as well as it's not only the physical attack that we are suffering from, we also suffering from the social media attacks. For instance, now we are getting some calls and people are calling inside their work and their when they go to their work, people, if you share something about or you said something about what's going on in this situation, you will be attacked by your colleagues. Some people were fired from their workplace, and there's some incitements, brutal incitements on social media. People will get your name, your photo, where do you live, and asking people to attack this person. This is something that we haven't seen that in the 2000s. So this is why there's escalation of what's going on with us here in the Arab community. But as I said, the police is not helping us on the controversy. They are attacking us. By the way, yesterday Haaretz has this article that thousands were arrested. Some of them were released, but 116 people were charged. No one was charged from the Jewish community or from this mobs.
Yeah, I saw that. So you're talking about the people who've been arrested, and you know, there's been protests and riots. And yeah, 116 indictments so far, almost all of them for assaulting police. Every single indictment against a Palestinian citizen of Israel, not a single Jewish person has been prosecuted. And, you know, it's also, there's also seems to be incitement coming from above, right? Amir Ohana, I believe his name, is in charge of the police forces.
Absolutely.
And there was, initially, there was a Jewish Israeli citizen who was arrested for shooting an Arab Israeli from Lid early last week. He killed him. And Amir Ohana, who's like head of public security, essentially said this person should be released and not prosecuted, and that these Jewish mobs are, he called them force multipliers, which is very disturbing rhetoric. So to bring it to the kind of rhetoric that's coming from officials, you know, it's true that non-Jewish citizens and the native population of Palestine have always been oppressed in Israel. But can we connect Netanyahu's failure to establish a government with the current uprising? Does Netanyahu benefit from the violence and chaos? Is the failure of the Israeli police to control events and protect all citizens a failure of the police? Or is it intentional and coming from above?
Okay, let's put it this way. Netanyahu, let's say, won this election, okay? Because he didn't have the mandate to form the government. He lost the mandate, and he was Lapid. I'm sorry, Lapid was supposed and Pinid was supposed to form the government. But this all incidents and the what happened in Sheikh Jarrah, what happened in Al Aqsa, and all the attack on worshippers in Al Aqsa, and not only the Muslim but also, by the way, the Christian, because the Orthodox Easter were attacked during the Orthodox Easter. Netanyahu. We believe that once he lost his mandate, he is the one that is should be held responsible on what's going on here. Starting with attack on Gaza, starting on the attack on worshippers and Al-Aqsa, and the attack on our community and the Palestinian citizen of Israel. As for the police brutality, and as for the government and the officials that are inside, that they always incite against their citizens, and I mean the Palestinian citizen, we've been seeing this for decades. Mm-hmm. Police officers, since 2000, October 2000, and the killing of Arab citizens, and also all the incidents that have been occurred after that, we have a list of 45, if I'm not mistaken, a Palestinian citizen of Israel that have been killed by police officers. No one of the police officers was indicted. No one. As long as they do have this Mahash, this committee that investigate the actions of the police, most of the cases were closed. Mm-hmm. 95% of the cases are closed and no one is indicted. They can give them like to release from their job for a few months, and they will come back to their job. The last incident was a killing of Munir Anabtawi that we here in Haifa, that the family was calling the police to help them to protect this this young man because he had this mental issues in order to bring him to the facility. And you know, the incident was by shooting him and killing him. So this is not surprising that this is coming from above, this incitement from the police offices, from the right-wing government, from Netanyahu's government, against our community. And we will continue to struggle and continue to work as much as we can to have these police officers to be indicted and also to bring them to trial. And this is something that is not, you know, something that is not weak. We always trying, but the facts are saying differently, that as long as the incitements and the attacking coming from, not only, you know what, not only from the government and the officials, we also seen in the last few days, the Hebrew media, the Israeli media is attacking us brutally. Mm. People, if you raise a voice different than the voice of the extreme or the government the government how you call it,
like their narrative,
you will be excluded from to say your voice, and the people were asked to leave the studio live. So yeah, this is the media, the Israeli media in these cases are we see it as the voice of the government, and mm-hmm. they do not really have, to bring the other voices. And this is something that we are struggling with. And this is something that also help, the extreme and the mobs to do and to keep attacking our community.
So speaking of the settler mobs that are attacking, I've spoken to a few different people, Israeli journalists, actually, in recent weeks. And what they've been saying is that there's been in the last few years an active attempt for settler organizations to move these like religious extremist settlers into mixed neighborhoods in an effort to provoke and push out the Palestinian residents. So can you speak a little bit about that? Are you familiar with, has that been happening? And then also, you know, who's organizing this? Because what I'm seeing from reports online is that it's being organized by these extremists on social media quite openly and on WhatsApp groups, on Signal. So can you speak to the issue of moving these settlers into these neighborhoods? How long has that been happening for? And then where this is being organized?
Yes, absolutely. These settlers have been moved from the settlements when Sharon brought these settlers and they gave some territories around Gaza. Mm-hmm. So these settlers came to they gave them houses to build and lands to build, especially in mixed cities like Lod, Ramli, and Yafo. And these settlers are trying also to get control on some houses inside these cities, especially from the Arab neighborhood. And if we have seen this, they were called, I think, a Magantura, if I'm not mistaken, but these are very extreme, very religious, and they really, this is what they are doing now. They came from the settlements, and they are staying in these mixed cities, and by protecting, getting protection from, as well as the police, but also from the Lod municipality and the mayors, and this is what happened. we have been seeing in Yafa, something that happened before all these incidents, that these settlers were trying to get into control about some residents. And yes, we see that. We also see this not only in mixed cities, by the way. This is, as I said, all these things are happening, and once it will be this is happening as systematically. All this home demolition, all this land confiscation. We see this not only in the West Bank and East Jerusalem and Sheikh Jarrah. We see this in the Naqab, in the Bedouin community in Naqab. All this land confiscation and home demolitions. It's daily happening. We see this home demolition in our villages inside Israel, like 20 minutes from Tel Aviv, from, you know, there, Taibe, Baqa, Kalansawa, all these in the triangle area, there's thousands of houses that are facing home demolition inside Israel. So this is something systematically, not only from the settlers, but also from the government and from the officials, and because of all these discriminatory laws and legislations that are against our community in all aspects of life.
I wanted to ask you also about the Palestinian side of things, because you mentioned this is systematic, right? This has been going on for decades. It sounds like actually it's always been happening. And in many ways, you know, I think this narrative is left out of the conversation about what's happening to Palestinians, because it's always so focused on what's happening in the West Bank, what's happening in Gaza. But a lot of the same tactics are being used internally while Israel tries to push this image abroad of, oh, but we have, you know, so many Palestinian citizens and they're represented. But you mentioned this anger among, you know, it seems like this anger among Palestinian youth has been building up for months, even before Sheikh Jarrah happened. And in the 1970s, there was this popular mobilization for Land Day among Palestinian citizens of Israel. So I'm wondering, is because you do see this building anger, these growing protests, why is this happening among Palestinian citizens of Israel now?
Well, it's not only happening now. If you recall, like, we do use our legal tools in order to express our opinion in Israel. In 2018, during the Gaza March, we had also demonstrations here in Haifa, and the people were arrested, people were beaten, and not only in Haifa, it was all over our villages. So it's not like now it's happening. No, it will happen every time that there's something that the Palestinian citizen of Israel will see that this is that they need to raise their voice against discrimination. And yes, it's always starting with Al-Aqsa and with Al-Quds, and also what's happening in Gaza. But you know what? I heard some analysts say that this time it was different. This time, the Palestinian citizens of Israel are the ones that started this, and the West Bank and others were, following them. Mm-hmm. And this is something that we need to understand. And this is where some trying to see, okay, we are Israeli Arab. We do not know our identity as a Palestinians. No, we are a Palestinians. We understand what our identity is, who we are. Yes, we are citizens of Israel. Yes, we do use the tool, the legal tool, because we still citizens of Israel. But you cannot silence us. If we have something and to express our opinion and to demonstrate and to raise our voices, we will do that. We cannot be silent when Al-Quds have been attacked. We cannot be silent if there's an evacuation, not only in Sheikh Jarrah, and also in Al-Araqib. We cannot be silent if there's an attack on Gaza and people and children are killed every day. This is one of our, role as Palestinians inside Israel. Also, when we raise our voices, we talk to the Jewish community here. Not, I know that there's a struggle to talk with the Netanyahu government, but we do have this access and these conversations with the Jewish community in order to allow them to understand and maybe push for something more, not to stay in this insane time. And this is something that we only, the ones that can do that. We have the linguistic access, we have the culture access, and we have the geographic access to the Jewish community here and to the Jewish people here inside Israel. Mm-hmm. So this is something that, like, for instance, we have tomorrow a strike, okay? The High Fall Up Committee has announced that the Arab community will be in strike tomorrow. Lots of people are working with Jewish companies, working in hospitals, and they are talking that, okay, is it... this is my right to be a part of the strike because I want to raise a voice. I want to the Jewish community and Jewish colleagues to ask why you are, a part of the strike, to open this conversation in order to have eventually to change and really, really to stop this madness. This is the important role of our community, to raise our voice, but also to open conversation and to talk.
So I want to ask about, the socioeconomic issues that may be fueling some of this, because it's not the same in every place where this is happening. I want to know, how much do socioeconomic reasons matter for the violence, not just political issues? So in places like, for example, Lod, you have these poor, neglected youth from both sides, very working class, poor area. Are economic issues playing a significant role in certain places like Lod?
It's not only like Lod, but it's everywhere. Yes, economic issues is very important to our community. And as I said, discrimination in litigation and in laws, but also discrimination in allocating funds. This is what will led the Arab community to be under this circumstances of economic crisis or economic problems. Around 50% of Arab families are under the poverty line. And yes, we see this neglecting in different aspects.
Palestinian families in Israel are under the poverty line. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Palestinian families in Israel under the poverty line. And we see this in different aspects. You can see this starting from the funds that allocated to our kids in schools, mm-hmm. Comparing to the Jewish schools. You can see this in our infrastructure. You can see this in our transportation that will not allow people to go from their villages and towns to go to work in different places. We can see this in industrial zones that we do not have as Jewish towns have. Yes, economic crisis is something, and most important thing is when our community is in economic crisis, all these black markets will step in. And this mm-hmm. is something bad for us, but it's bad for also people that, will find themselves in places that they should not be there, especially young people. Yes, so this is something that will affecting us in these days. And some of this have this influence of what's going on this, but it's not let's say the major issue. Right. The major issue is really what is happening, in these days.
It reminds me, because our audience is mostly American, it's just like, for me, the comparison or the parallel would be like last summer during those Black Lives Matter protests, where there was obviously the main issue was this very in-your-face political discriminatory issue. But of course, that ends up translating sometimes into riots and into vandalizing and into, young men, who don't have much of an economic future, right? And that frustration comes out. This is an interesting question. I don't know if you have much to say about it, but it was claimed, I saw, that some of the violence in Lod involved former Palestinian collaborators who'd been removed from the occupied territories and housed there. Can you comment on that? Have you heard this? Is this playing a role in the narrative at all?
Actually, I don't have, you know, I didn't hear that, but I hope not.
It was a rumor. I just had to throw that in there and ask. I want to be respectful of your time. I know you have a lot going on and to deal with. I just have a couple more questions. And this is a bit more political. Well, first, let me ask you this. I want to settle this. What is the proper nomenclature? Is it Arab Israelis, Arabs of 48, Palestinian citizens of Israel? Because there's always this conversation in the U.S., what should we call this particular group of people? Is there like a consensus on this?
Part of our work in Friends of Musawa in the U.S. is not only to bring our voices and our work as a Musawa Center here in the U.S., but also to tell them how we, how we call ourselves, because this was raised. Okay, what do you call yourselves? We as a Musawa Center, we call ourselves Palestinian citizen of Israel. Okay, mm-hmm. And this is something that this is our identity and the part of our role, as I said. We are Palestinian at first, and yet after that, we are citizen of Israel. And this is something that, as I said, we can just gain, action items in order to. To help if we are talking about let's say political issues and also what's going on in this region, I think we should be a game changer. This is what we believe in. You cannot ignore us as we were ignored during Oslo Accords. Mm-hmm. And this is all what's going on here. This is something that because we were ignored, and we are the people that can not only be bridge, I don't like to use this word, but as I said, we have the access to the Palestinian territories, to the Palestinian people in the West Bank. We don't have an access to Gaza. I don't know if someone has, but we have an access to Jerusalem, to East Jerusalem. We have an access to the Jewish community, and not, you know, a Jewish community not as a whole, but we also have an access to the Jewish marginalized communities inside the Jewish community. And this is something that we need to work on in order really for the long term to bring, let's say, 61 seats that in the Knesset and in the Israeli parliament to work towards ending occupation. This mm-hmm. is something, you know, if you don't end the occupation, this will keep happening. All the attack on Jerusalem, all the attack on the Arab community. So we believe that ending occupation and equal rights for all. This is something that we work in, and this is part of our role as a Palestinian citizen of Israel.
So I'm curious, since you are working, obviously, you're trying to work with all these different communities. Is it difficult to find allies in the Israeli Jewish community? Because it sounds like Israel's gone so far to the right as a society, and there's so much segregation, even inside the country. So what is the difficulty of that, of trying to communicate with and find allies in the Israeli Jewish community? Is that an increasingly difficult task?
It's a good question. If we can look at individuals, you will see a lot of support from Jewish individuals in a quiet way. Okay, but when it comes to, let's say, elections, because elections is the translation of what the people thinks, you see that we always have this 61 seat or the winning of the right wing. So it's not easy to work with organizations and to work with the Jewish organizations, especially in this time. This is something that we are trying as a Musawa Center also to outreach to these organizations and the communities, because there's a lot between them, let's say the Russian speakers communities, the Mizrahi communities who came from the Arab countries, and also the Ethiopians. This is something that we are trying to outreach to them in order to tell them, look, guys, we have the same struggle against the government, against discrimination, against a lot of things that you are suffering from and challenging. We do also have these challenges, but this is for the long term. And this is something that will come eventually once the results of the elections, not you know, for the first time, and maybe we will have the fifth election, we will get more again and again Netanyahu and his right wing and Smotrich and the Ben-Gvir. So it's for the long term, you know, working on these communities and these organizations, because this the whole sphere in the political area is going towards extreme right wing in the political aspect.
And I have to ask you this question, because I think that it's very important for this kind of stuff we're talking about and what's happening. Does the violence of the Israeli Jewish right at this time against Palestinian citizens of Israel, does it remind you of the pogroms in Russia, for example, against Jews in the 19th century? Or what else does it remind you of? Because it does, to me at least, look like pogroms. I don't know what else to call them. How do you see, like, how would you describe what's taking place right now? And on a personal level, do you feel unsafe?
On a personal level, I do feel unsafe. You know, I live in New York, but now I'm in Haifa because of my work. So I'm traveling a lot to Haifa and to Nazareth. And my husband and kids are in New York. So every day they are calling me, you know, around 6, 7. Okay, are you at home or not? Because they really, you cannot... walking around by yourself in this time, especially in the evening, because you do not want to get into these mobs and into these extreme settlers by yourself, because you will never know what they can do. What it reminds me, I don't know what to say. What it reminds me, I'm living this now. I lived it in 2000, but this time it was, as I said, more extreme. Mm-hmm. And because it's also that you don't have, the police will not protect you. The police will stay aside, or they will be around them to protect them. It's frightening situation. It's not easy for us as Palestinians, you know, that you cannot access your neighborhood, or you cannot go from your work. People who are calling us, can we go to universities? Because students have been Arab students, Palestinian students have been also attacked on social media and, incitements against them physically as well. So it's a very, I don't know what war to use, but this is madness what's happening now here.
And I'm curious, is there support from the, I guess, what you could call, the Palestinian political class inside Israel, the people who are elected to the Knesset? Do they have any ability to have influence over this? You know, you look at the West Bank, for example, and the leadership there has been very easily has been co-opted, right? It kind of just at this point acts as an arm of the occupation throughout all of the oppression and brutality the Israeli occupation has dished out, particularly in the last couple of weeks. I mean, you haven't seen them push back at all. I think 11 or 12 Palestinians in the West Bank have been killed just protesting against this recent violence. So is there, what's it like, I guess, inside Israel for Palestinian citizens? Do you have a political leadership that does try to like protect, or are they silent, or how does that work? I think people are very unfamiliar with the dynamics.
Yeah, absolutely. From our perspective, we do have absolutely leadership, but at these times, sometimes you even our leadership will, they do not have the tool to protect and to deal with this violence and with this brutal, because everyone is inciting against us. As I said, the police officers, the officials, the prime minister, the Israeli media. So when they go to the Israeli media and try to bring their voices, they will be shutting down. People are staying in the neighborhoods of the mixed cities and our leaders, and staying in our Arab communities in order to be there to protect the people. But you saw what happened, with the Youssef Jabarin, the former Knesset member in Umm al-Fahm. He was beating. He was, they fired a bullet rubber on him. So nobody is protected. Mm-hmm. No leaders, no Knesset member, no one. If they will attack you. They are trying their best, you know, to protect their community, our community, to be with the people in the street, but no one is protected.
And then lastly, I want to ask, you know, this is a bit of a difficult question, but, you know, we can all agree that Palestinians in Gaza, I think, have a right to all means of defense, right? And, you know, I guess Hamas has the right to self-defense and to resist occupation, as anybody under occupation does. But, you know, I've heard this sort of debate, if you will, about, you know, was it a mistake for Hamas to get involved and distract from the uprising of Palestinian citizens of Israel? Is that a conversation Palestinians are having? And how do you respond, I guess, to that criticism?
As you said, no one will tell Hamas or others what to do, especially us, the Palestinian citizen of Israel. We, as a Palestinian citizen of Israel, and also as a Musawa Center, we are with the uprising and using the legal tools to protest and to raise our voices. There is a debate not only with the Palestinian citizens of Israel, but also I think with the Palestinian territories and also the Palestinian Authority, what's going on here and what should be done or how things need to be done. But as a Palestinian citizen of Israel, we are with a peaceful demonstration to raise our voices and to, as I said, to have these conversations with the individuals. Mm-hmm. This is something that that need to be worked on, because this is for the long term will bring the results. Listen, eventually we will be staying here and living here in Israel and with the Jewish community, and we will work with the Jewish citizens. And we have these relationships with each other. So this is something that it's not like a button you need to push and start and restart. So from our end, as I said, peaceful demonstrations, raising our voices, using the legal tools that we are capable to, if it's to go to the court, if it's to have to the media advocacy, international advocacy, to call for action items with the international community. This is what we are capable to do.
And what can people who are watching, is there anything they can do to help?
Yes.
In the meantime.
Absolutely. Starting from officials, starting from organizations, individuals, we need to stop, first of all, the war on Gaza. You need to call your officials, everyone from their states, to call them, to listen to the other story. I know the mainstream media is giving one side of the story, but there's another side. Always ask for the other side of the story, because there's something, a lot of things that you need to be aware of. As of the citizen of Israel, yes, there is discrimination, there is police brutality, there is incitements against 20% of the population here. As an international community, we call to raise this voice, to raise this important issues that we are facing. You can see it, you know, on our website as musawa.org, English website, what's going on here, all these videos and statements against our community. You can see this and you can act, especially by providing even support, you know, as a communities. I know that in the U.S. we have this relationship with the Black Lives Matter movement because of the police brutality here that we are suffering. But this is the time also to use our contacts to ask these movements. And I know that there's a lot happening in the U.S. With some communities that are raising this voice against Gaza. But please also, there's 20% of this community here in that are suffering and facing this incitements. And this that our voice need to be heard.
Suha Salman Musa, the Executive Director of the Musawa Center, thank you so much for joining Breakthrough News.
Thank you so much for having me.